through a new series called Hot Topics. So I told my fellow pastors that I meet with weekly, I said, this is either going to blow up the church or it's going to blow up the church. I'm not quite sure which. But I felt like the church has to have a voice on subjects that are current out there today. And I'm just giving my opinion, what I feel like God's shown me through the Word. I'm trying to base everything on the Word. And some of the things that I've talked about, I'm going to be on a different side of the line than you might think that I would be. So far, we've talked about issues like marijuana. We've talked about racism. We've talked about abortion and pro-life. And today, we're going to talk about prosperity. So you might be surprised, because I'm not anti-anything. I'm just pro-God. That's kind of my stance on everything. My stance on everything is I'm not anti-anything. I'm just pro-God. And so if God is for something, I'm for it. And I just want to have my life express that. To be salt and light in this world, you can't just give in to things. But before we get started on prosperity, let's talk about this poor guy who died. Now, this guy died and he went to heaven and he was a Christian and he met Peter at the gates. And Peter said, I see your name on the book of life. Come on in. And so he walks on into heaven. He's walking through these streets of gold. He's amazed at the opulent wealth and the amazing buildings and everything that was in this amazing New Jerusalem as he walked the streets with Peter. And they started walking out into the residential areas where they had the mansions. And the guy's looking at these amazing mansions with beautiful, ornate stuff. Like, no, nothing withheld. God's full and complete blessing on each of these mansions. And they kept walking and walking farther and farther away. And eventually, they came to this little road. And Peter walked him down this road. And there was a shack. Just this old, beat-up shack. And the guy looks at Peter. And Peter looks at him and says, well, this is yours. And he said, well, where's my mansion? Where's the thing that I... Why don't I get one of those that we just passed by? And Peter looked at him and said, well, we did the best we could with everything you gave us. Oh, see, I said that after the offering, so it's okay, all right? Does it, you know, the question is God, you know, I'm just today, even today on the news, and there's this, and listen, I'm against nobody. Understand where me and Jeannie came from. We were Word of Faith people. We are, in a sense, Word of Faith people. We believe in the Word of God. We have faith in the Word of God. Yes. We believe, just like our beloved Peter, his last text to me before he went in the hospital was Hebrews 11:5 that says, it's impossible to please God without faith. So we are a house of faith. That's who we are. That's what we do. But sometimes people take things and they go too far. And so I'm not talking about any ministers today. I'm talking about concepts about prosperity. So when I think about prosperity, some of the headlines I read just scare me. I mean, I see people out there talking about, you know, my old jet aircraft wasn't good enough. Now I need a brand new one that's twice as fast and twice as expensive. And I look at these things, and I understand that it's a case-by-case basis, right? That I can't just sit there and go, I'm not judging another man's servant. So I'm not there to judge them. But at the same time, I'm going, wow. Then you start hearing about people, they have the largest, you know, a state and their entire state, and they're so blessed, and they're blessed by God. But then I look, I'm just sharing my own heart here. I look at the people that are giving to them, right? And they live in small apartments, and, you know, they live in trailer parks and stuff like that. And yeah, the minister's living at a really great level, but what about everybody else? And my heart kind of breaks because I feel like something's broken, you know? I feel like something's not quite right. And so I start thinking about, well, when it's time for me to invest my money, where do I want my money to go? And if someone's buying their second or third jet aircraft, they don't need my money. You hear what I'm saying? I want to give my money where it's going to do something other than buy golden faucets for somebody. I'm glad that they're blessed, but that's not where I want to put my money. So I'm not their judge, and I'm not judging them, but I'm looking at it, and I'm going, something's broken here. The people, I mean, the minister shouldn't be living at a level so much greater than all the people giving to him. Yeah. And there should be some sort of equability within, thank you. See, that's why I have a congregation. You have a gift, I have a gift. Thank you. So some of the questions I'm asking here is, does God want me to prosper? I mean, do I have to have a jet aircraft to be highly pleasing and blessed before God? Or maybe I need two jets. I mean, could you guys help me raise $65 million? Anyone? How do I know that God desires me to be blessed? Can I have anything? Can I have anything I want? Is it up to me? Is it like God sitting there going, like, look at David. You can have anything you want. What do you want? Or does God have a plan for my life and that his blessings are tied to the plan?
Yes.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Because some of these people are saying, God just wants to give you whatever you want. No. My kids come up and say, can I have a loaded handgun? I say, no. No, you can't have one of those. God's not going to give you anything you want. So, but I have this question. What is the limits? How do I know what God wants? How does it work? And so we've centered this entire series around this one scripture in John 7:7. Let's go ahead and put it up on the projector here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. My job, your job as salt and light, is never to compromise our beliefs. You see, everyone was willing to compromise their beliefs, and even to the point where the Pharisees and the scribes were taking advantage of widows and hurting people and just to get themselves rich. And then they were telling everyone around, look, I'm blessed of God. See my riches? But think of the widows and the people that were being abused and used. And this is, they wouldn't even honor their parents and support their parents. They said, anything that I would have given you, I've given to God for God's work, which is me. And therefore, you know, that's where that blessing went. And Jesus called them out for these things. He said, this is wrong. And we have to be those that say, this is wrong. We don't have to start an argument or a fight. But when people come and ask, we have to be willing to stand by our guns. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you're going to do what Jesus does. And what he says he did, he said, the world cannot hate you. Can't hate you because you don't tell them anything. You're just trying to conform and be liked and be loved. You want to be accepted by the world, and you don't care about the acceptance of God. But he says, but it hates me. So when I am, as a follower of Jesus, I'm wondering, does the world hate me? I'm serious now. Well, I don't want to be hated. I want everyone to love me. Really? Are you willing to trade that? Are you willing to trade that for being loved and favored by God? Really? Because the Bible tells us whoever is friends with the world is at enmity with God. That you can't have both. So choose. What are you going to do? Are you going to serve God? Or are you going to be loved by the world? Now, it doesn't mean that we have to go out there and throw hateful statements out there, but we have to stand by our convictions, even when they're unpopular. And that's what this series is about, standing by our convictions, being the salt and light to this world. Without us, the world is lost. It's only through us, that is the light that Jesus shines through our life, that the world can be saved. I care about the world. I'm not here to be right. I'm not here to win an argument. I'm here to represent Jesus Christ. And I'm here to represent the gospel. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now listen. It's important that you realize what we're about here at Firepoint. There's a reason why we're Firepoint, okay? There's a point to being fiery. And it's not so that you can blend in with the world. It's so that you can stand out and be light and warmth to everyone that comes near you. Amen?
Yes.
Some person told me, I told them the name of our church, Firepoint Church, and they looked at me and they go, well, you're charismatic, aren't you? I said, yes. I mean, there's certain, you know, if you're not Grace Valley or something, people figure it out pretty quick. So the question is, and the thing that I think is so important is to understand what is the basis of our prosperity. Because I believe in prosperity with a purpose, but we have to go to Matthew 5, 17, 19, and I did this in the Amplified. I don't know if you have it in the Amplified. If you don't worry about it. Put it in the ESV, but I'm going to read it in the Amplified here. Do not think that I've come to you to do away with or undo the law or the prophets. I've come not to do away with or undo, but to complete and fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until the sky and earth pass away and perish, not one smallest letter nor one little hook identifying certain Hebrew letters will pass from the law until all things it foreshadows are accomplished. Whoever then breaks or does away with or relaxes on the least important of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called least important in the kingdom of heaven. But he who practices them, teaches others to do so, shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So what's important? What's important is to understand that Jesus came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. So quickly, your mind's race, and you sit there and you go, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. And that's true. But under grace, the law is fulfilled. This is an important concept that has to be understood to understand where the foundation of your prosperity comes from. Because have you noticed that there is a group of people whom I love dearly, the Jewish people, who are extremely blessed in the world because they carry an identity that God has placed in their heart? You have that same identity. And today we're talking about you embracing that identity in your heart, that you are God's blessed on the earth. You're His people. You're peculiar. You're different than everyone else. And you stand out. Everywhere you go, God is with you. So Jesus here defends the moral law. Now remember, there's also the ceremonial law, which was done away with as things are foreshadowing us walking in holiness before God. But the moral law stayed and is still enforced. So what are the Old Testament promise or blessings? Going to Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, it says, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments. Now listen, if you what? Obey the voice of the Lord, being careful to do all of his commandments. I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. High above all the nations of earth. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle and the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you to be the enemies that rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all you under all that you under. Say that again with me. Under all that you. Now I want you to personalize it. Say under all that I undertake. The Lord's going to bless everything that I put my hand to. Everything. And he will bless you in the land and the Lord your God has given you. He's going to bless you in the land, the house, the community that he places you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself. And as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, and all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by his name. Now, what does this remind you of? It reminds you of the new commandment that Jesus gave, right? Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. By this, all people will know, everyone will know that you are mine. Amen? Yes. It's by the love that we show. It's by the desire to fulfill his will. 11:11, honey. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by my name, Because this was how he was going to evangelize the world. He was going to show the world how he prospers. Make sure I get on the camera. That he prospers his people so that the world would be called to be with him. That there would be a jealousy in their heart. And they'd say, why are they blessed? And so what God wants to do, and I'm telling you this today, God wants to bless you. He wants your life to be a blessed life so that it will be a blessing to others and draw them in. He wants to cause a level of jealousy in people's hearts when they see that whatever you put your hand to, you prosper.
Yes. True.
So these are the Old Testament promises. And we said earlier that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. But let's finish up what I'm reading here through verse 14. Of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you, and the Lord will make you bound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your livestock, and the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, to bless all the works of your hands, that you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. It's a very important concept there, but harder to live. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down. Did you hear that? You shall only go up and not down. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them, and if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I have commanded you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after the gods and other gods and serve them. So in other words, if you're faithful to God, these blessings will be with you. These blessings are a perpetual blessing forever. Now, interesting, the word blessed, Barak, means to kneel and to give a present or a gift. It also means to bless, in the Old Testament, means to endue with the power for success, prosperity, and longevity, etc. In other words, God is blessing you with the power to get prosperity. But here's the deal. Here's what you have to partner with God in it. Today, I'm challenging you to partner with God in faith.
Yes.
At whatever you put your hands to, make it a joint effort with God more than you ever had before. I want you, the Bible says in Malachi, to put him to the test. And when you do things, if you do it in connection with him, God is going to bless it. If it's in obedience to his commandments, right?
Yes.
Whatever he tells you to do. God told us to start Fireport Church. He's blessed it. Amen? What is God telling you to do today? God told Mitzi to start La Chicas and Family. And God's blessing it because he told her to do it. Sometimes we don't see all the physical blessings, but there are spiritual blessings above even the physical. Amen? So to endue with the power for success, prosperity, and longevity, etc. We need not worry about the curses. Now, this is really important because we have the blessings, but fortunately for us, we're under a greater covenant that removes the curses. So it's even better than what they had. We get all the blessings and none of the cursings. That's an amazing thing. Listen to this. Listen to this. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ redeemed us from the curse and the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The cross is a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Think about that. I'm getting the blessings of Abraham. You're getting the blessings of Abraham. My question to you is, have you claimed them?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Have you claimed them? But because there's one thing to sit there and go, well, God will bless me when he wants to. There's another by putting a demand in the spirit for something.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you really believe it, you're going to put a demand in the spirit for it.
Yeah.
I believe, this is my belief, I believe the Jewish people who are chosen by God put a demand, even the secular Jews, put a demand in the spirit unknowingly based upon the promises that they are God's chosen people. Even the non-believers. And that's why they prospered. As a people group, percentage-wise, they got more, what are those called, the awards and stuff like that. They just come up with Nobel Peace Prize, all that stuff. They just seem to excel at whatever they put their hand to because there's this ingrained feeling that they are God's chosen people. And I think that Christians who are, by Christ, grafted into the tree are not taking on the identity that they were meant to take, or we would be doing more and more, and we'd be blessed and blessed. Today, I want you to take hold of that identity and make it yours. What I'm talking about is true prosperity, prosperity with a purpose, prosperity that's designed to be given to you according to the calling on your life. Some people will be millionaires. I've been in meetings where everyone says, God wants you all to be millionaires. No, he doesn't. It's just not true. Or there's a whole lot of failures all around you right now. God wants you to be prosperous at what you put your hands to.
Yes.
Jesus would never have been by any means considered a millionaire in his time. But whatever he put his hands to, it prospered. That's the blessing that's over your life. Amen? By carrying that identity in your heart, you draw the blessings to you. Do you understand that? If you don't have this identity, you're not drawing the blessing. Because it takes faith to please God. It takes faith to empower the blessing in your life. And without faith, the blessing doesn't get empowered. And this is, we're not walking in the fullness that God wants us to walk in. Amen? I want you guys to stretch your faith. I want you to engage your faith with that identity that you are the inheritance. Your inheritance is the blessings of Abraham on your life, just as it says in the scripture, so that we might receive the promised spirit through faith. Do not judge by appearances, but judge with the right judgment. Amen. One of the reasons people don't receive the blessings is because they have a judgmental spirit. Another reason they don't get the blessings is because they have unforgiveness in their heart.
That's true. That's good.
It's not about listening to the words of God that you like. It's about listening to all the words and obeying. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus said you have to forgive. Matter of fact, he even intimated that you have to forgive to be forgiven.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? And if you're not forgiven, you're not going to receive your blessing. So how do I do this? How do I know when God wants me to receive a blessing? First of all, is the blessing in line with your calling? Okay, some people are blessed to to gather wealth. If that's your calling, then you have the right to believe for that in your life. You see what I'm saying? There are people who receive financial blessings so that they can give it into God's work. And that's their mindset. And they get money and they actually give it. I'm not saying they don't have some nice things, but I'm saying they give a lot more proportionally than a lot of other people because they have that desire in their heart. That's their gifting. If your gifting is evangelism, don't worry about the money. Go evangelize. The money will come. That's why he's got the people that are prospering, so they can give to the evangelism. You understand what I'm saying? Go do what you're called to do and expect God's favor and blessing on it. Don't go around and let some prosperity preacher tell you that you're all supposed to be focused on money. There's a reason why it says in Matthew 6, it says, you cannot serve both God and money. Serve God with your giftings and let the money work out itself. But know this, if you do what you're called to do, if you're obedient to God, God is going to give you everything you need. Matter of fact, he even said it. He said it right here. He said, in Matthew 6:33, he said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Yes.
So when we seek God first, we have an expectation that all these things will be added to me. Whatever I need to fulfill the calling that I'm called to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I want you to hold on to your identity. I want you to sit there and go, I am a lightning rod. I am God's. I got the blessing of Abraham in my life. I am God's lightning rod for his blessings and his purposes in my life. You see, some of us, and me too included sometimes, I can get by with less. I can do with less. I'll get by. You know what I'm saying? And I'm denying God's desire to bless me. Then there's the other side where I make the blessing the focus and not God. And that's where I fall into error. So the question is, why do I want to be blessed? Because I'm obeying God and doing his will, or because I want the blessing? If you get everything that the world has and that's the focus of your life, then I don't think you're putting the kingdom first. And I think some of these preachers have deceived themselves into thinking that they're blessed by God, when in reality they're the tops of a Ponzi scheme. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all about give money to me. Have you ever heard anyone say this? Have you ever heard anyone say this? They say, I have the anointing for wealth. Give to my ministry, give to me, and you're going to be blessed. As if for some reason they are the ones you have to give to. What are they? Who are they serving? Give your money where God wants you to give it. Give it to the poor. Give it to Cambodia. Give it to wherever God puts in your heart. Amen? There's nobody that has the anointing. If you give to David Richardson, you're not more blessed than if you give to someone that's out in the streets. If you give it in obedience to God's heart. Amen?
Yeah, true. Good.
So yeah, there is the tithe that basically is needed to operate the church, but everything else can be used however God wants. Offerings come in here sometimes. Sometimes you give to other ministries. I'll bet you if I had people raise their hands in here, a lot of you give to other ministries. God bless you. And there's a lot of ministries in here that need funding within this community here that you could give into, and you could see a great reward. Amen? I just wonder how many people in Cambodia are going to get saved because of your faithfulness, Emmy. I just wonder. I'm kind of excited about the idea, and then I got to partner with you a little bit. See what I'm saying? Can't wait for the next thing. So I have this saying that I came up with. Put up the quote, if your heart is in the wrong place, so are your blessings.
Yes, that's good.
If your heart is in the wrong place, so are your blessings. If your heart's not in the right place, your blessings are somewhere else. But if your heart's in the right place, your blessings will find their home. Amen? Keep your heart right, and everything else will turn out.
Amen.
Above all things, protect your heart, for from it come the issues of life. Amen? Proverbs 4:23. So, and by the way, I said this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I put down here in my notes, all means all. All blessings. Everything you need, body, soul, spirit, everything. One of the people are going through depression and stuff. Go out and minister. It's amazing when you help people how you feel better about your life.
Yes.
Sit around home all day just thinking how miserable you are, and you have no chance but to think how miserable you are. Go do something. Go help somebody. It's amazing how that breaks depression, how that makes you feel like you have a purpose. How to walk in the blessings. James, last scripture, James 4, 2 through 4. Going a little bit long today, my apologies. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet, you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. This is James. You do not have because you do not ask in faith. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be the friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I don't ever want to be God's enemy. And that's why I'm telling you, this series is so important that you hear every one of this series so that you never place yourself on the other side of God.
Yes.
Amen? You need to know what the Bible says about each of these subjects. And we're going to do a lot of them. And God give me grace and the wisdom to do them the right way. Before you ask God anything, first ask God what it is that you want me to have. You know, one of the things that I found at works is like, God, what do you want me to have? What do you want me to believe for? You know what this church is believing for right now? A building.
And I
repent openly before this church for not having the right mindset about going after the building. Because I was like, well, God will give it when he wants. In God's timing, God wants to partner with faith.
Yes.
He doesn't want to partner with emptiness.
Yes.
He doesn't want to partner with doubt. He wants to partner with faith.
Yes.
In your life, in our life, in our community's life, in this church's life, he wants to partner with faith.
Yeah.
Without faith, last message from Peter Garcia, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That was God's message for me. An hour before he lost his consciousness, he sent me that scripture.
Wow. Praise God.
And it spoke to my heart, probably more than any of his other texts. They sent me in thousands. But that one spoke to my heart because it was his last word to me. And I feel like it was God's word from through him to me. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I feel so energized. I feel so incredibly inspired to extend my faith out, to trust that I, in my identity as the heir of Abraham, and to extend my faith out and believe for the things that I need to fulfill my calling. Do you get what I'm saying? So I want you to think about, what is your calling right now? Think about it. Put it in your heart. What is your calling on the internet? What is your calling? What is your calling? What is your calling? What is it? Believe in those areas and you will see the answer of God. Believe with all the faith that you have. Trust in God and watch him perform on your behalf. Amen? Align yourself with God's plan and you will have the reason that God wants to prosper you in alignment with him. Seek first the kingdom of God and then you'll get all the other things. God wants you blessed. He is the God of more than enough. That's what El Shaddai means. It means more than enough. That's a shortened. Yeah, but that's what it means. I won't go into all of the Hebrew on it, but it ultimately means more than enough. Praise God. And then apply your faith. I want you to close your eyes right now. Close your eyes with me. All of us will close our eyes. Are you on the internet? Close your eyes right now, right where you're at. Close your eyes. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. Unless you're in a Tesla on autopilot, don't close your eyes. Even then, hear from God. But Heavenly Father, I want you to give an image to every heart in this building, every heart on the internet, of what your vision is for their life. What are the gifts in your life? What is it that God is calling you to? You may not know it all, but take what you know. Take the next step. Take some future dream that God has placed in your heart and dream that dream and say, God, I join with you in this dream with all my faith. I engage my faith with you now. I say, Lord, yes and amen. I am an heir of Abraham. Say that with me. I am an heir of Abraham. I am blessed. And I will prosper. As I do all that you ask. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to sit there. And I want you to, now with that vision in your heart, whatever it is. And if you don't know, you just kind of know you're gifting. Like you're a teacher or you want to get married and raise kids one day. Or whatever it is that you have in your heart at this moment that God's put. Because it can be anything. It doesn't have to be ministry. I want you to sit there and I want you to ask God for the blessings that come with that vision. Say it with me. Father, I ask for your blessings over this dream, over this vision, over this calling. And I expect all these things to be added to me as I seek you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Give the Lord a clap. Now let's talk just for a moment. I want you guys to bow your heads just for a second. And I want to talk to anyone here that doesn't know Jesus. If you're sitting here and you're exploring your faith or your purpose or your reason, I want you to know that there's a God in heaven that loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his only son for you. And while you could never live up to his standard, he has made a way through grace that you can achieve all things that you are called to. Amen? Because Jesus died for all your failings so that when he rose, he gave you a way for eternal life. And all you have to do is believe and trust on him. If that's you right now, if you're here today and you've never put your heart and given your heart fully to Jesus, today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is your day. I want you to sit there and go, today is my day. When I receive my identity in Christ. In a moment, we're going to pray. And I want you to pray with all your heart. Everyone, pray with me. Heavenly Father, Thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son. I repent of all my sins, all my wrong actions, all my wrong thoughts. And I ask that Jesus Christ be my Lord and Savior from this day forward. Thank you for loving me, forgiving me, and blessing me. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you said that for the first time or made a significant recommitment, I want you to raise your hands on the count of three as an act of faith. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Raise your hands high. One, two, three. Let me see those hands go up. I see those hands. I see those hands. Go ahead and put those hands down. Let's give the Lord a clap. He's a good God. Stand with me as we bless and dismiss. Prayer team, please come on up, and we'll have prayer up here in the front, line up along the wall. I want you to raise your hands up, and I just want you to say this one thing. Father, I receive your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.